This week on the Time Bat Show.
Soon, there's going to be a lot of people challenging the Grim Reaper to Super Smash Brothers Melee.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 135 of the Time Bat Show. I'm one of your hosts, Time Aces.
I'm your other host, Bat Snacks.
And we have another show. This is like 5 days after our last show. Like, this is a record, I feel like. Not a record, but like, we're pumping them out now.
You know? Yeah, we're close together. We had a stagnant period where we had some problems week to week, but now we're good.
Yes, we had 2 weeks where we didn't record anything. And now we're recording 2 episodes within a matter of 5 days. That's just what we do here on the Time Out Show. We just entertain, that's what we do.
And I felt kind of bad that we skipped episodes, even though I don't actually know if anyone listens to this. So
we know I'm like 10 people.
I mean, the numbers say hundreds, but yes. I just still have never believed that.
Yeah. So thank you, listeners, for keeping up with us.
Thank you.
Although we were down for 2 weeks. And if you know, we'd love to hear from you sometime. Those 100 people living in Wisconsin that listen to this show. Yeah. So tweet at us at timebatshow or email at contact@timebatshow.com. You know, we should set up a P.O. box.
So people can mail us things?
Yeah, because maybe the people that listen don't have this newfangled, you know, although I don't know how they'd be listening to this podcast otherwise.
Maybe this show gets broadcast on a weird shortwave radio station in Sweden, and none of them have computers, but they would love to send us, like, Swedish crackers and snacks and stuff in the mail.
I would love some Swedish crackers. I don't know what that is, but I would love it. So maybe we should set up a P.O. box. How much is that? Do you know?
I don't know. I know that the only time I've ever seen someone use a P.O. box was in, like, a detective movie where a guy needed to, like, send the newspapers, like, clues about the murder.
But he doesn't want to tell people where he lives. So you got to need a P.O. box for that. You know what I mean? Like,
Do you think that even works?
What? Like having a P.O. box?
Yeah, like, let's say that I was, like, a private investigator, and I didn't want my identity revealed.
Sure.
And I need to mail the New York newspaper, because it's always in New York, my investigative information.
Okay.
And I open a P.O. box, and I send it in the mail to them. Couldn't they just ask the post office to, like, look at their camera footage or something?
They could totally just ask the post office and be like, hey, who has that P.O. box? And be like, here you go, it's John Smith. And they're like,
damn.
You know.
Yeah.
But I feel like the post office probably, if they're good, they wouldn't reveal it so easily. You know, it's for privacy or whatever. You know what I mean?
There's some kind of agreement they have where they can't.
I would hope. I mean, the whole point of a P.O. box is so you don't have to give people your address, right?
Yeah, so, or if you're, like, homeless or something.
Yeah. I would hope that you can't just walk over to the post office and be like, hey, who's in P.O. box 303? And they're like, oh, that's John Smith. He's a good guy. Here's his home address. Like, thanks. Bye. You know?
I mean, at the same time, like, what if you're sending, like, bad stuff in the mail? They have to be able to.
No, that's right. I feel like if the police asked, they'd give it to you. But if just somebody asked, they'd be like, no, you can't.
Okay.
But it is used in movies all the time. It's like, I saw this one movie or show or something, and like a guy has his own P.O. box. And what was sent in the P.O. box was like really sensitive or whatever. He was like involved with some bad people, right?
Yeah.
And so he was like, can you get my, he asked someone a favor to like get their mail. Get this P.O. box, but don't look conspicuous. Like, ask the attendant to get it so that you don't draw attention to yourself. And he, like, forgot and made a whole big scene about himself. And then the people that were following him started, like, shooting at him or whatever. So, see, that's what you get. That's what you get when you open a P.O. box. You start living in this, like, detective novel fantasy land, you know?
It sounds like we should open one based on what we're... Like, maybe that's the key. Maybe that's the only thing missing in both of our lives.
Is having a
PO box. It's just the PO box.
Do you think if I opened a PO box, someone would start sending me secret mystery mail? Like, hey, I heard you're good at solving.
Okay. Like, as soon as you open one, you start getting letters from all the world's detectives. They're like, hey, welcome to the secret PO box club.
They're like, we're really trying to crack this one case. You think you want to take a shot at it? And you're like, yeah, okay. And then they send you all the materials. And yeah. then you're suddenly smoking a cigarette in your living room at 2 a.m. with a big table, drinking a cup of coffee and thinking about, like, have all this these papers on the table. And you're like,
yeah.
I wonder what's going on here.
Yeah, you send your mail with your real name the first time to the detective man. His name's like M or something. It's like a single letter.
Oh, it's M. That's good.
And he sends you back. He's like, what are you doing using your real name? You need to choose a cool alias like me.
Like M.
Yeah. What would yours be? What's your detective
alias? Would mine be a letter or would mine be a full name? I feel like mine would be... I don't want to go full name because that's too... I don't know. But I don't want to do, like, single letter, because M has already got that, like, he's got that down, you know?
Yeah. It can't be M. Like, that's... He's already got that, for sure.
I feel like you struck the coolest one already, like, immediately. You're like, M, and I'm like, oh, man, I don't really want to be M.
Yeah. What you could yours? Be, like, Caesar, or...
Caesar? Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, choosing Caesar. An ancient name...
Caesar's
you know what?
Cool.
We were going to talk about this anyway. Any Greek god would be a cool
Janus,
detective
Janus, that name. Would be mine.
Yeah, Janus is awesome.
Yeah, that would be mine. That would be my name. What would yours be?
I would choose maybe Hermes.
Ooh, that's cool because it's like you're a messenger kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, like, give this to M. It's from Hermes. You sound like Matrix characters right now.
I would get one of those letter sealers with the wax, and it would have, like, Hermes' face with the winged
yes.
hat.
You had, yeah. You'd have your own emblem kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
They'll do that for sure.
Yeah. This is sounding very, like, John Wick kind of thing, too. Like, secret society of things going on. You know?
That maybe. John Wick secret society is so ridiculous.
It's so great, though. I love it. It's so stupid, but it's so fun, you know?
Yeah. It's like the roller derby goth girls, like, stock exchange building or something.
Yes, but then all the other people are all, like older, like high class, high society, you know, yeah. things. It's really funny. I just love, like, stupid secret societies like that. But maybe that's the key. Maybe we just need to open a P.O. box and then we'll start getting cool letters from cool people. Be like, hey, help us solve this mystery. You know, and you're like, all right, I'm Hermes or whatever. Or you're Hermes, I'm Janus, you know.
All right, well, we'll open one and we'll tell everyone what it is. And maybe we'll get show? Swedish crackers and yeah.
detective mysteries.
Detective
Wouldn't
mysteries.
It be cool if we had a podcast where, like, this is the obviously this is the podcast, but what if we had a show where people send us mysteries that they want solved that are, like, really dumb, but, like, also mysterious, and mm-hmm. we solve them?
I would love that so much.
Wouldn't that
much?
Be a great idea for a show? Like, it doesn't have to be, like, murder or anything, but it could be, like, here's an example. Like, when I was 13, I was... out on, you know, this street with my bike, and someone stole it, and I saw them, and this is the description of them, and years later, I saw the same bike in some place, and I want to know who stole, you know, like, some stupid thing like that, right?
Yeah.
And then we solve it, you know?
That would be so cool.
Yeah, right? Wouldn't it be cool? We, like, investigate for people.
Yeah. Or, like, do you remember... Your first website that you started mm-hmm. got hacked by some evil yes. hacker. I distinctly remember this. And he took over your forum and posted all this weird crap on it. Like, yes. I'm the overmind lord or something.
Yes. Yes, and I never figured out who it was.
We right? could go back and try to figure out who that was.
That ruined my life when I was 13 years old. Like, I was, like, so sad. Because I had this stupid website... that was, like, for our, like, role-playing games. and making role-playing games. You remember this, right? And I had, like, forums and a website. And it wasn't big, but it was, like, there were people that were on it. Like, it was, like, there were people. Like, there were probably, like, 100 or so members or whatever.
Yeah, that was big. The RPG Maker communities. Uh-huh. And, you know, you had your own little game studio. You made a logo and,
like, logo. It was great. And then I got hacked, and it was so sad. I was so mad about that. I feel like my life was, like, ruined. You can really trace back my depression to that one point in time, I think.
when the man hacked you,
when the man took hacked down my your website. Forwards. So if you're listening to this man, thanks a lot for ruining everything. You know, actually, this is going to sound depressing, but I do think, like, things that happen when you're, like, young really affect your outlook on life, you know, like, later on. Because, like, and this is what happened to me. Like, I had this website, and I had all these people that were, like, really excited about it and into it and had, like, a little community. And it wasn't, like, big, but it was, like, cool, you know?
Yeah.
And it was, like, my whole life when I was a teenager. I was like, oh, this is so fun. I love doing this. This is cool. I have all these people that are involved and da-da-da-da-da. And it was going strong for, like, a year. And then I got hacked, and it just dropped. Like, that hack, like, it was unrecoverable. Like, I wasn't smart enough to know how to fix it, you know?
Right.
And the community just died. Like, it just went away. Like, in the span of, like, a week, you know? And that really, like, made me really sad.
I'm sorry that happened.
No, it's fine. But, like, looking back, like, maybe I'm part of the way I am because, like, I don't try to do good things anymore because I know they're just going to turn out bad, you know?
There's just going to be a hacker man that ruins it for you.
Yeah, like, at the end of the day, it's like, is this even worth it? There's going to be some guy that screws it up for me. Not that I don't try to do good things, but you know what I mean. Like, that outlook, that cynical outlook really stuck with me after that, you know?
Well, that's why we need to get into solving mysteries, so we can find this guy. And
yeah.
I don't know what you do when you find him.
You get him. You report him to the police. You're like, this guy. I think there is a statute of limitations on hacking a teenager's website in the early 2000s. He's probably past that at this point.
Yeah. But I was going to say, like, what are you going to do? Like, give him the server logs or something? Like, we could know who it was, but there's nothing we could do. What could we do? Find
what website he owns now, because he probably does, because he's a hacker. And hack him.
Oh, get him back.
Yeah. And then be like, but, like, do it in a way that I would have done if I was a clever 13-year-old boy. So, like, don't do it in, like, a professional way. Like, draw, like, a penis on there. You know what I mean? Like, really, really, really childlike stuff, you know?
Yeah. That's kind of how he did it. He did some, like, dumb.
It was very, very childish, you know?
Yeah.
So if we got him back, we'd be like, here's a penis, and, like, just say a bunch of stupid shit, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
I love penises. I'm the owner of this website.
That's exactly what 13-year-old me would want to do. So there you go. So maybe, I don't know. Moral of the story is we're opening a P.O. box, and maybe this will just happen.
You know, when we open one, you know, we'll obviously get in close with the hackers, too. So maybe we could just send a letter to one of our hacker buddies and have them handle it.
Yeah. We don't need to do any work. We're just telling other people what to do at this point.
Yeah.
Through the P.O. box. Through our P.O. box. They're like, welcome to the P.O. box club. What would you like to happen? You're like, find out who did this. And they're like, all right, we gotcha. It's like a secret club. Wouldn't that be so cool if there's, like, a secret club? Not necessarily for P.O. boxes, but, like, for anything. Like, you just have to stumble upon this one thing, and then you realize there's this whole, like, extra layer of society that you didn't know about, you know?
There are those. I know about a couple.
No, there definitely are. I think a P.O. box is a good example because nobody uses those. Like,
right.
So I don't think it actually happens with P.O. boxes, but it's a good example of, like, oh, I opened one, and now, weird, I'm in this weird world. But I do think they exist, but I don't know where to find them, you know?
There's one. There's still a pretty active community. Do you remember dial-up modems?
Yes.
And you would have bulletin boards that were only on dial-up.
Yeah, I remember those.
Yeah, it's like Telnet or something is the protocol they use.
Yeah, I remember.
So, those still exist. I've seen them as recently as, like, last year.
Do you think the people that talked on those in the 90s are still, they're like, screw the modern internet, you know, I'm going to go back to the telnet or whatever.
I think they do, yeah.
Sounds cool. I don't know. There's something romantic about the early internet. It's like the Wild West, you know?
Yeah.
It could have been really bad, but it's like so fun when I was there.
For some reason, everyone wanted to be really productive for the most part.
Yeah, yeah. And it wasn't like this, nobody knew who you were. So, like, there wasn't this stupid social media thing of, like, proving to people that you were cool, you know, where yeah. that's what the internet, like, half the internet is just that right now. It's just, like, proving to other people that you already know, kind of, that you're really cool.
Right.
So we didn't have any aspect of that. It was all anonymous. So it was just like, yeah, there's some people that are going to be assholes because that's what anonymity does. But the other half are just like, I don't care what people think of me. I'm anonymous, so I'm just going to do weird shit, and other people are going to do weird shit with me, you know?
Yeah. I've done tons of thinking about this, and I think what it comes to is when you introduce identities, it's what you said. Everybody is just trying to make themselves look cool because, you know, their identity is in it. But when it's anonymous, you're trying to make the community look cool. Like, yeah. you want to make it look like you're part of a cool thing.
Yeah, you're part of something cool. Yeah. And you happen to belong to that cool thing. Like, that's what it was all about back then. Like, I remember the early days of the internet. I was never like, wow, you're this famous person on the internet. Like, no, it was like, wow, you're part of that community. That's really cool.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, you're the person that does those, like, demo scene stuff? That's really neat. Or you're a guy in one of those weird hacker communities? That's really cool. Like, yeah. it was always, like, what kind of community you were in.
And not or, you know, you do flash animations of stick figures fighting? That's cool.
But you're in the community, so it's, like, cool. But, yeah. Now it's, like... Yeah.
That's why Wikipedia works so well, you know, because it's there's not really identities. It's just everybody there wants to make Wikipedia look cool instead of themselves. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting because the anonymity is like a double-edged sword. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, this is why the internet is so shitty today because everyone's anonymous. But, like, not everyone is anonymous, right? Like, there's plenty of people that are very non-anonymous that are still very much assholes.
Yeah.
You know, the reason is not really, I can't say that word. The reason is not anonymity. The reason is if I said something mean to someone, they can't do shit about it over the computer. Like, there's literally nothing you can do, you know what I mean? So it's not that I'm anonymous on the internet. It's that I have no, like, there's no consequences to anything I do on the internet.
Yeah.
That's why people are assholes. I don't think
people are behind their car. They're in their car. Yeah. They'll do anything when they're in their car.
Like, it doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, I don't think it's anonymity. It's just that you're immune to whatever because you're on the computer. You know, nothing's going
to
happen.
Do you ever wish you could, like, teleport to someone's house who's being a jerk to you and be like, not so tough without your computer, are you?
Oh, yeah, I've thought about that
before. I've thought about that before.
But, do you remember what are you going to do, punch him or something?
You just scare him a little. Like, you remember the scene in Kindergarten Cop when she's like, not so tough without your car, are you?
Oh, yeah. It's like that.
Be like that, like, except, like, with the computer. Yeah. And you have teleporting power.
That would scare someone so much, it would be great, though. Yeah. You know, I think a good way to get back to someone who's mean to you on the computer is to teleport them to them, but not, like, hit them or do anything like that. It would just be to be like, sit down, I have to explain to you why you're wrong. You know, like, you just make them listen to what you have to say.
Yeah.
Because people love putting shit out there because they know that anyone that, like, argues with them or, like, says, like, hey, you're being a dick, here's why, they're just not going to read that. Like, they don't have to read it. But, like, if you had to listen to someone, like, be like, this is why you're being an asshole and you're wrong, blah, 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 like, that'd be torturous for them, I feel like.
Yeah, it would.
Be great revenge, though. That's what I would do if I found the person that hacked my website, actually.
Be like, listen, this sucked. You shouldn't have done this.
I would go to his house. I would need to pretend to be somebody, though. Like, find out where... This is going to sound really creepy, but it's fine. Find out where he lives through my P.O. Box hacker community, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go to his house. Now, I have to pretend to be... Like, this is where, like, a phishing slash grifting kind of thing comes into play, right? I need to figure out how to present myself as someone that he needs to invite in. You know what I mean? To, like,
You could say you're the police.
I don't think he'd believe that. He's a hacker, remember? Like, he's
gonna... Oh, true.
I feel like this is where I'd need the other hacker community to come together and be like, how are we gonna do this? You know what I mean?
You could pretend to be someone he knows on the internet.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So we figure out who he is. Then we have another hacker hack into one of his friends' like accounts.
Right.
And then I pose as that friend and be like, hey, blah, 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 blah. We should meet up at Al's Diner at 6:30 or whatever.
You can maintain the identity that you're pretending to be. Like, you can say, I'm King Caesar or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm the guy you hacked 10 years ago. And you hurt me. Now you're going to have to listen.
I could. And he doesn't know any better because he doesn't know this guy.
Yeah, in real life. Know.
And then I could be like, and this is what we're going to talk about. And he'd be like, oh my God, this is terrible. I want to leave. And I'm like, no, you can't leave. You hurt me. And I must tell you my feelings now.
Yeah.
That's the worst punishment, I feel like, in humanity. It's not like, you know, torture. It's like sitting someone down that doesn't want to hear about your feelings and telling them about your feelings.
And you're going to, they're going to have to listen.
And they have to listen to the whole thing. And they have to stare you like in the eyes when you do it. Like, they can't look away.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, you're just like, I'm going to tell you how I feel about this. And it's not good. And it's going to be uncomfortable. And you're going to have to just sit and listen to me for this next hour to tell you how this really screwed me up when I was younger, you know?
Yeah.
That would be so rough. Oh, it would be so good, though. It'd be such
that would be awesome.
Revenge.
You know what? That could be its own TV show, too.
I would watch that.
You know, have you ever seen that TV show, Catfish?
Yeah. All right, oh, my God. This is the greatest idea. You just have the greatest idea.
Yeah. So I love the show Catfish because it takes these internet bullies and it does exactly what you just said. It makes them listen to someone they hurt for an hour. They have to listen to their feelings and just deal with it. Like,
yeah.
What we would do is we take people that, like, flame other people, that hack other people. And we track them down, and we say, here's the person that you were mean to. Now you have to sit there and listen to them talk for a whole
hour. For an hour about how they made you, like how you made them feel.
Yeah.
When you flamed them.
And we could be the Max and Neve on the show that get the people together.
Yes. Yeah, we're the hosts.
Yeah.
We're like the goofy hosts or whatever.
Yeah.
This is perfect. It's like revenge catfish, kind of, you know? Revenge fish is the name. The show. No, that's a great idea. So, how would you get them to, like, agree to a meeting? You would have to catfish them, too, still, I feel like, right?
Yeah, you could do what they do on the cooking shows. You could call them and say, hey, we work with MTV. We heard you're, like, an internet superstar. We want to interview you.
Oh, that's really smart.
Yeah.
And these people are always so, like, egotistical. They're probably like, yeah, you do. Of course you want to interview me. Blah, blah, blah. I'll do it.
You know?
And then they agree, and then you do it. And then you can even... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, we could be like, hey, we have this new, MTV show called, you know, Little Known Internet Celebrities, or, you know, documentary about internet celebrities or something, when really the show is called Flame Wars.
Yes, exactly. And you can even feign being on the show. Like, when you first meet, you can be like, oh, yeah, this is all part of the show, blah, 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 blah. And then, like, halfway through their entry interview or whatever, you can be like, wait, are you the guy that da-da-da-da-da said this about me? And he's like, oh, no. And you're like, you totally are. And then you get on.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So you, like, trick them into thinking they're still on the show.
Yeah. Oh. You bring out the conversation logs, and you're like, so where were you when you said this?
When you said da-da-da, oh, I'm not going to repeat anything people would say, but it would be bad. Let's just assume that it's not nice in any way.
No.
It would be so good revenge. People would watch the hell out of that show.
I would love that show.
Everyone loves seeing assholes, like, get their comeuppance. Like, that's America's number one hobby, I think. You know? If you see an asshole and they get their just desserts, that's great. You know?
Those are all my favorite movies to watch, are revenge movies.
Right? Because you feel like the character deserves it, and then you're like, yes! Got him! Got him! Get him! Got him! Get him! Yeah, it's so
good. And you know, the only Asian movies that do well in America are the revenge movies.
because they're so good, and Americans love a good revenge. Like, yeah. That's our favorite thing. I think we love revenge so much because we don't get it very often. Like, no one really gets revenge, you know? Like, have you ever got revenge
on
anyone? Me neither. Have you tried to get revenge on someone?
No, because you can't.
Like, I've tried, I think, but it just never works. Like, it's not a thing you can actually do.
Yeah.
You know, you can in movies, but it just doesn't actually work in real life.
The only way you can get revenge on someone, at least, you know, where I live, is if you have less to lose than that person and you're willing to just throw away your life for it.
See, and I'm exactly that kind of person, though. Like, I fear that one day I'm going to do exactly that. Like I'm going to go up against someone that's really making me angry, mm-hmm. and I'm like, I'm going to get revenge on you. And, like, I have everything to lose, but so do they. And if I take a dive, then they will fall, too. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And I'm not that kind of person, but, like, when push comes to shove, I feel like I would do that because I'm such a, I don't know.
You gotta weigh the cost, right? Yeah. I mean, if the guy that you're getting revenge against is gonna lose $1 billion and you're only gonna lose $1 million, like,
you're like, that's, well, some pretty good
revenge math.
Revenge math. You gotta do the revenge math and see if it's worth it. It's like, well, I'm only gonna lose $1 million and they'll be screwed for the rest of their life. That's good. That counts pretty good. Gotta do the revenge math. But yeah, I feel like I would totally do that. And do you have, like, this is gonna sound really weird, do you ever have, like, revenge fantasies about, like, getting revenge on someone? Not like killing anybody or anything, but like in, like, a stupid way, like they say something mean to you and you're like, oh yeah, well,
constantly.
Because that happens to me all the time. Like, if they do this, I'm gonna get them back with this or whatever.
You know, I have the dumbest fantasies. Like, we're going to be at a party and, like, the person's going to be there and I'm going to launch into, like, TED Talk mode and be like, oh, I gotta get you. Embarrass you in front of all your friends.
You have no idea what you're going to say, but, like, yeah. Whatever you said would be, like, really amazing. And everyone would be like, oh my God. I like how in all these hypotheticals of your life, you're always at, like, a party with people, and you're, like, impressing everyone around you. Like, that's, like, everything you strive to do.
Yeah. And I don't even like parties.
No, I know. That's why it's so funny, because it's like, I'm at a party, and I'm like, why are you at a party? That doesn't make any sense. And you're like, and then I say this really cool thing, and everyone's like, oh! But, like, yeah, no, I'm the same. It's like, you invent, like, social situations that you'd never actually be in.
Right.
But then if that person came, you'd be like, got you now. Oh, you know.
Well, it's like, in order to get proper revenge, someone has to see you get revenge.
Right. You can't just get revenge on the person individually. That's no fun. Preferably, you want, like, a group of people witnessing their revenge.
Yeah. Preferably, you need someone that is close with them to see it.
Yeah. And then be like, oh, like, the more they go, oh, then the better you've done on the revenge.
Yeah, if a tree falls in the woods and no one hears it, then it didn't fall.
Then you really didn't get revenge.
Yeah.
If revenge falls in the woods and no one hears it, then
really revenge was not had.
Yeah, it wasn't actually done. are you ready for your first trivia question of the day?
Yeah, sure.
It's not about revenge.
Oh, damn. It's my favorite thing.
I love this revenge cover. Because I do have these fantasies, but they're really stupid. They're always, like, social. Like, I say something clever, and then it's like, oh, got ya.
Yeah.
You
know?
But, like, looking back, it's, like, such a dumb, you know, I'm never gonna do that in my entire life.
No, neither will I.
But if you ever do it, you have to immediately text. Can we make a pact right now before we get to the first trivia?
Sure.
If you ever get, like, some good revenge on someone, I want to be the first person to know, outside of the people that witnessed the revenge, obviously. You know what I mean? So, like, just immediately text me and tell me the whole story. Like, I just got revenge on this guy, you know.
I'll do you one better. I will let you know before I do it, and I'll let you know the result.
I feel like that's going to backfire. You're going to be like,
there's a chance I'll try, and will not wind up better
for. What I imagine is I get a text, and it's like, about to get revenge on someone, dot, dot, dot. And I'm like, okay. And then, like, 5 minutes later, like, never mind. That's how I imagine that going down. But I mean, I feel like I'd be the same way. I would do the same thing. But you should, okay. If you're ever in a revenge scenario, like, text me, and we'll see what happens.
Okay, I will.
Because that would be a fun live thing for me to witness, right? It's like, about to get revenge on a guy, like, 5 minutes later, okay, never mind, that didn't work, or something like that.
Yeah, it would be good, because you could experience revenge vicariously through me.
Yeah, through the text message that you send me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be nice. I feel like I'm never in a situation where I'm like, okay, it's revenge time, and then my brain, like, triggers, like, the revenge response of, like, here we go. Revenge mode activated, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'd have the wherewithal to text you, be like, about to get revenge on someone. But I don't know, maybe I would. I don't know. I'm a pretty petty person, so maybe one day. All right, your first trivia question is regarding animals. Well, video games and animals. Video game animals, we'll say.
Okay.
What lifeline would you like?
I will choose 50-50.
All right. In the game Donkey Kong Country, what is the name of the frog companion that Donkey Kong and co. find? Okay. Is it A, the frog? You remember the frog in Donkey Kong?
Nope.
Country? Okay. You remember there's animals in the game that you could, like,
yeah, ride. Yeah, I remember the spider.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, there's a frog.
Yeah.
So, is the frog's name A, Winky, B, Froggo? C, Leonard, or D, Terry Winkle? Is it A, Winky, B, Froggo, C, Leonard, or D, Terry Winkle?
All right, Leonard sounds right.
Why? It's froggy kind of name.
It sounds like a frog name.
It does, yeah, I guess that's true. Is that your only, like, thought on the question, or?
That was my first kind of...
That was your first guess.
That was my first inclination. All right, I'll use my 50-50, though.
You're using your 50-50?
Yeah.
Okay, it's either Winky or Leonard.
All right. The problem with it being Leonard is that none of the names in Donkey Kong are actually cool.
That's, like, true.
Like, if you think about the Kong's names, it's always like... Lanky, Cranky, Diddy. They're all Dixie. E names.
Who named the Donkey Kong characters? They're all terrible names. Yeah. And why is Donkey Kong named after a donkey? Like, it doesn't even make any sense to me. Like, we're just used to it, but why is his first name Donkey? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
It sounds kind of cool.
Does it, though?
He has the coolest name of all the Kongs.
Okay, here's the thing. It sounds cool now because we've known Donkey Kong for 30 years of our lives. Imagine it's 1985 or whatever. Mm-hmm. Donkey Kong first comes out in America arcades, and it's like, Donkey Kong. If you saw that and didn't know what the name Donkey Kong meant, would you probably be like, what the hell is Donkey Kong?
Yeah, I would probably.
I would.
Yeah.
I would, like, laugh at how dumb that name is. You know?
But makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Anyway, but yeah, it is a cool name. Winky, Froggo, Leonard, Terry. Oh, sorry. It's just Winky or Leonard now.
Yeah. I think I'm going to have to go with Winky because it has the Y at the end.
That does sound Donkey Kong-esque, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Final answer.
Final answer, yeah, sure.
Winky is correct.
Nice.
Well done. Way to logic your way through that one. I like how you used it as, like, oh, it has a Y, and all the other Kong's stuff has Y.
Yeah.
So the frog. Winky is a bad frog name. I don't really get it. It's not really frog-like, you know?
Not at all.
If they wanted to go with a Y name, they could take Leonard and make it Lenny.
That's such a cool frog name.
Isn't that a great frog name?
Yeah.
Like, Lenny, like, that sounds like a frog. Like, if I had to imagine what animal Lenny was attached to before this question, I'd be like, it's probably a frog.
Yeah.
I can't believe they didn't do that. Whoever named Winky, contact us and tell us what.
Tell us what was happening.
Speaking of talking animals,
Here we go.
you were involved in some kind of talking animal film lately, You were, I was. Watched one. Tell us what happened.
So I saw the new Lion King this week.
The live action Lion King movie. Remake, right?
Is it really live? It's not live. It's CGI. I mean, it's not.
How would you describe it?
It's, all right. So here's how I'm going to describe the new Lion King. Mm-hmm. It looks, they look like real lions. Mm-hmm. Every animal in the entire movie looks completely real. Like something like Planet Earth, like David Attenborough could be okay. narrating the Lion King.
And it probably would be a more interesting movie. No, what were you going to say? Sorry, go ahead.
So that's a, it's beautiful. I've never seen CGI like this before in my entire really life.
Nice looking.
I have no idea how they did it. Everything is extremely real looking. Right. But
looks great.
I think there's a problem with that. And it's something that I didn't think about before I went into the movie. Mm-hmm. If you remember the original Lion King, it's, mm-hmm. you know, the animated lions?
Yeah, yeah.
They have lion bodies, but their faces are pretty human looking.
Yeah.
In The Lion King, the new one, they have lion faces. So, like, when they go to do emotions, like smile or frown, or...
It looks like they're just lions.
It just looks like they're... being lions. It doesn't look like they're doing anything. And it's really weird.
So, like, if someone, if Pumbaa says a funny joke, and in the original, Simone smiles, and this one he'd be like a lemur or whatever. He'd be like, yeah, well, he'd be like,
hey, I'm a meerkat. Just.
Or whatever it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Or if, like, Simba said something to the bird would, like, laugh, but it's like a bird in this movie.
I mean, the bird opens his beak up and down, kind of like he's eating, but it doesn't look like a talking bird. It just looks like a real bird is opening its beak a little bit.
So let me ask you, like, how are... So there's a lot of... Like, there's not a shit ton of humor in The Lion King, but it's a funny movie. Like, how do they handle, like, the jokes and stuff, you know?
There's, like, three jokes in the whole movie.
There are?
Yeah, there's not a lot of jokes. Do you remember how the hyenas were really funny in the original Lion King?
Yeah, I remember.
They took out all the jokes from the hyenas, basically.
That's dumb.
And Simone and Pumbaa still have some jokes, but... Not as many. Like, it's hard to be funny, though, when it's just, like, a warthog face.
He's, like, there. He's just like, a warthog. Do you think they took the humor out because halfway through development they're like, oh shit, like this is going to be really weird if we have these real looking animals tell jokes, you know?
Do you know what it reminded me of? Do you remember Milo and Otis when it was just like voiceover over a real footage of a real dog?
It was like that.
It was exactly like that.
And that wasn't the best movie ever, but you know, it was lower budget than The Lion King. So. Yeah.
It's such a weird movie because it looked like an amazing episode of Planet Earth, but like there's Lion King voices happening.
Yeah,
and it's instead of David Attenborough.
So when they talk, do they move their mouths? The lions
a little bit,
only a little.
They go like, yeah, they do the thing.
Mm-hmm. That's weird. Should I see this movie just to experience what the hell is going on in this movie?
I would recommend the other Disney remakes from recently over this one.
Okay.
I think you could watch the trailer and kind of get The Lion King.
Have you seen the Aladdin one yet?
Yeah, Aladdin was really good.
Oh, you like that?
Okay. Yeah.
But so that was a good remake, because there were humans in that one.
Yeah, they had human faces, and, you know, I felt emotions watching.
Right. Whereas The Lion King, you just... It seemed like you were watching an episode of Planet Earth with voiceovers
on the lines.
That doesn't sound super good. Did they still convey the story? Like, was the story still kind of there? Or
yeah, it was exactly the same story.
Are there any songs?
Yes, they're singing.
How do they do that?
It's the same way they do the dialogue. It's like they just show the real-looking lion and there's singing happening.
Is it weird? It sounds really weird.
It's really weird.
I want to watch a clip of just the singing to see how weird it is. Because I feel like that would be the highlight of the weirdness, right? Like lions singing to each other. in live looking lions. You know what I mean?
There's a new original song in it, and none of the lions sing it. It just starts playing randomly at some point in the movie.
Really?
Which is good? Strange. There's like a Beyonce song that just starts happening, and it's like, oh, this is
Beyonce. This is weird. Oh, that is weird. Yeah. Do they use the songs from the old one?
Yeah, I mean, they changed them. They're not. I don't like them as much, but it might just because it looked like there were real lions.
Because Elton John isn't doing the soundtrack anymore. That's why they're not as good.
Yeah.
Clearly. I'm really curious about this movie. Like, I've heard really bad things about it, but it, like, seems like such a train wreck, and I kind of want to know. I kind of want to be not on the train, but, like, near it, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
To see the fallout from the train wreck, if that makes sense.
I think it's worth seeing. Like, it's the most impressive CGI visuals I've ever seen.
Maybe I'll wait for it to come out on video or whatever, and then just stream it or something. Because I don't know if I want to go to the theater for a Planet Earth episode with Beyonce talking over a lion. Because she's talking. She's in the movie, right?
Yeah, she's Nala.
Okay. Interesting. This movie sounds really wild. Yeah. I don't know how.
Three of the voices were really good. James Earl Jones, like, did his Mufasa voice, and it sounded really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, he's the best. He's great. Yeah.
And Scar, I don't know who did him, but Scar was great. Good. And do you remember Whoopi Goldberg's hyena in the original?
Yeah,
I forgot.
Yeah.
I don't know who the hyena's name is, but
yeah, one of the hyenas.
She has a new voice actor in this one, and her voice actor sounds good.
Really good.
But she only had like two lines in the whole movie, though, which was, I don't know.
No, that sucks. But it was a good voice actor.
Yeah, she was great, whoever she was.
That's a good segue into our trivia.
Okay.
Because we're talking about voice actors and Hollywood people. Your second trivia question is about Hollywood.
Okay.
What is your lifeline?
I will use Monty Hall for this one.
All right. Who occupied... Do you remember the show Hollywood Squares? You remember that show?
Yeah.
You remember it? Squares. And they did stuff. I don't remember how the show worked, but they all sat in a big square and did things. Who occupied the center square in the game show Hollywood Squares from 1998 to 2002? Was it A, Bruce Willis, B, Whoopi Goldberg? Oh, we were just talking about Whoopi Goldberg. Mm-hmm. C, John Goodman, or D, Ed O'Neill?
I think it was Whoopi.
Why do you say that?
Hollywood Squares is the one where it's like tic-tac-toe, and there's different Hollywood stars in each quadrant.
Uh-huh. And they have to, like, get a question right to, like, fill in the tic-tac-toe or something like that, I think.
Yeah.
So the middle square is, like, really important in tic-tac-toe, obviously.
I think it was Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah.
But I want to say that I know it's not Bruce Willis.
Why do you know it's not Bruce Willis?
Because he wouldn't be good at this.
Bruce Willis doesn't strike you as the Hollywood Squares type.
No.
Bruce Willis would be so funny on Hollywood Squares, though. Like, I would watch that show. Like, if they did it again and Bruce Willis was on it, how good would that be?
He seems so serious.
I know, but I would... I feel like he would just get angry and, like, start making jokes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, kind of sarcastic, biting.
Hollywood Squares with a bunch of sarcastic people, like, grumpy people, would be so good, right? Yeah. So you got Bruce Willis, you got Harrison Ford, throw Sean Connery in there. Who else is really grumpy? You know what I mean? Like, you just got to get a bunch of grumpy old men. throw them in Hollywood Squares. Grumpy old men Hollywood Squares. That sounds so fun. John Goodman, I mean, he was in this question. You could throw him in there, too.
It's like Hollywood retirement squares.
It sounds so good, though. Bruce Willis would do great. Christian Bale, I throw him in there. He's the young one, but he's grumpy, right?
Yeah.
He'd get mad. Like, what am I doing here? Why am I on Hollywood Squares? I want an Oscar.
You need, like, one normal person. Like, kind of a self-insert. Yeah, for the audience.
Wait, like a Hollywood person or like a random guy?
A Hollywood person that seems normal and less grumpy.
Okay, you know the guy from... This is going to be a deep cut, sorry. It's okay. Have you seen Groundhog Day?
Yeah.
You know the insurance salesman in Groundhog Day?
I don't remember him off the top of my
head. He's like a very normal, like, guy. He wears glasses and he's like, hello, neighbor, or whatever. Like, that guy would be the audience insert in Hollywood Squares.
Yeah. That would probably work, yeah.
You should Google Groundhog Day insurance salesman.
Should I do it right now?
Yeah, do it right now. Okay. I want to get your reaction to this. I think this will work.
Oh, I remember him. Yeah, he would work.
Right? Isn't he good for Hollywood Squares guy?
Yeah, he's a little older now, but he would work.
No, I mean, it's retirement Hollywood Squares, though. It works perfectly, right?
Yeah, he would work.
That's the whole idea. Yeah. So you got that guy, and then you got...
Bill Murray. He's grumpy.
Bill Murray would be perfect, yeah. Put him next to Bruce Willis, and you'd get some good content, I feel like. Oh, this is a good idea. This would last, like, one episode, and then they'd be like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, they would all hate each other.
You'd give them, like, a lot of money, though. You'd give them, like, $1 million, and be like, all right, I'll do it for that. And then you'd do one episode, and they'd be like, I can't do this. I hate it. This is the worst. You know what else you throw in there? The two Muppets, the old Muppet guys.
Oh,
They're in the Hollywood Squares.
They have their own, they're top right.
Yeah, they're together, though. They're one square. And they have to, like, agree on their answer to, like, make it work.
They take, like, 10 minutes to decide every single time.
I love how we have Muppets now. Bill Murray would be mad at those Muppets. He'd be like, what are they doing here? Get them out of here. This is good. Anyway, who occupied the center square of the Hollywood Squares from 1998 to 2002?
I'm going to lock in Bruce Willis and hope that Whoopi Goldberg is the other one.
So you're locking in Bruce Willis. So it's either Bruce Willis or Whoopi Goldberg.
Nice. Okay, I'm going to go with Whoopi Goldberg.
Good job. You really locked that one down. That was good. You're 2 for 2 now.
Whoopi was in all kinds of cool stuff, but hasn't been in a long time.
So many things in the 90s. Remember that? There was like a stretch from like 1990 to 1998 where she was in like a million movies.
Yeah, right? Jumpin' Jack Flash.
I don't remember that one.
It's a comedy movie. She was in Star Trek. Sister Act. That's a cool movie.
Sister Act 2. Ghost. I don't remember. There's like 5 more. But which Star Trek was she in?
She was in Next Generation. She was Guinan, bartender.
Yeah. I almost forgot about her in Next Generation.
She was like a wizard, basically.
I remember. She was good in that show. God, Sister Act is such a good movie.
Yeah.
My family, on both sides, like, are extremely Catholic.
Right.
I think you're a little Catholic, too.
My family,
they are
too.
Obsessed with that movie. Like, they love Sister Act. Like, they're like, this is the greatest movie. And it's, like, not accurate at all to Catholic religion, but it's, like, I don't know. It's fun, right? It's about nuns, you know?
Yeah, it's, like, religious humor for religious people.
Yeah, it is.
And it's really funny.
It's really funny. Yeah, so, like, my dad's side, who's all from Louisiana, and, like, they're really Catholic. They, like, love Sister Act. Like, it's, like, their favorite movie. Both of them, even like the bad one, even the second one that I think is not as good, but because I think in the second one, this is such a 90s like sequel things. Like the first one, she like goes to the sister, what do they call it, nunnery,
yeah,
the whatever,
it's not called that
at all, the convent. She goes to the convent and she like blends in because she's like in witness protection. And in two, this is like the most 90s like sequel thing. She like starts helping inner city youth like be like nuns or something.
God,
you remember?
I didn't see the second one. I didn't even know there was a second one.
It's so stupid. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, first one, she's obviously in the convent to like avoid being witnessed. Sixth Act two, there's like inner city kids that need her help, and she like brings them into the nunhood and like trains them to be nuns or something. Like, it's like, what is this?
Is there a nun training montage?
I think so, yeah.
That's awesome.
Pretty good. But, like, I feel like every movie in the 90s, when they did sequels, they were like, all right, we need to do the main character, and they have to, like, be talking to inner-city kids. You know, that's, like, a very important part of, like, a 90s sequel.
Yeah.
Like, the Mighty Ducks did the same thing. It's like, oh, we got to get the inner-city kids in here now. It was a very big thing.
You're right.
But, anyway, Sister Act 1 and 2, good movies. Great, good movies. Fantastic movies. But Whoopi Goldberg's fallen off the face of the earth. I think she's still on that talk show, isn't she?
Talk show? I haven't seen her recently. I thought that people just stopped putting her in stuff. Like, maybe she did something controversial. Or
I don't think she's in movies, but I think she has, like, a show on, like, CBS where she's with, like, three or four other women and they talk about stuff, like, in the morning or something. I don't know. I'm pretty sure.
I have not seen that, but that sounds fun.
I mean, I don't know. I've never seen it either, but I'm pretty sure that she's in something. So she's on TV, but she's not in movies anymore. Did we have any... Oh, do we want to do... Oh, what were you going to say? Sorry.
Oh, I wasn't going to say anything.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I feel like I've interrupted you a lot. Do we want to get into some Reddits now?
Sure. I have some Reddits.
Let's do it.
All right. The first one I have written down is posted by Mr. Monkrat. Thank you, Mr. Monkrat.
Thank you, Mr. Monkrat. That's very kind.
He says, the Grim Reaper is retiring, and you want to apply for his job. What do you say on your resume to get called in for an interview?
Ooh, that's tough. Who's doing the interview? Do you think it's God that's doing the interview over the Grim Reaper?
Maybe.
Like, who would be hiring for that, you know?
I don't know. Maybe it's, like, not really clear. Maybe you have to... Maybe this job just showed up at a temp agency. Like,
whoa.
The identity of the employer is not really known.
And someone else is doing the interview.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's just like crazy. A normal guy they have to...
It's the insurance salesman from Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
He's the guy that's interviewing you for the Grim Reaper position.
Yeah.
What would I put on my resume to show that I don't think I have any, like, professional skills like that I used in my day-to-day job that would really help me being the Grim Reaper. But yeah. I feel like I have some personal qualities that might help. You know what I mean?
I would say, like, self-starter.
You have to add that in every resume.
Yeah.
Self-starter.
Really punctual.
That's important to the Grim Reaper.
You gotta be on time.
Yep.
Willing to travel.
That's all you need. That's it.
Yeah.
Punctual, self-starter, willing to travel. That's really all you need to be the Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
Enjoys dynamic work environments.
Yeah. I like to challenge myself.
Yep. That's all you need, I feel like.
Oh,
and maybe
good at chess.
Good at, that's important. You have mm-hmm. to be able to be... I feel like maybe, yeah, you have a list on the bottom of, like, games you're really good at, because in case someone challenges you to a battle for your soul.
Right.
Or for their soul, you need to be able to win. So, like, you'd say, like, really good at chess. I would put chess, Mario Kart, I don't know what else. Kick, Foursquare.
Foursquare.
And... Mm-hmm. You know, I'm decently competent at, like, Smash Brothers. There we go. Those would be my four, you know, Grim Reaper games.
That makes me think of something really funny, dude.
What?
There's going to be a lot of people challenging the Grim Reaper to Super Smash Brothers Melee.
In, like, 20 to 30 years, there's going to be, like, a bunch of people. Like, let's play, Grim Reaper. You got it.
And a bunch of people are going to win.
I'm going to be Fox. We're going Final Destination. No items. You can choose whoever you want. Who would the Grim Reaper play in Super Smash Bros., do you think?
Do you think he's good or do you think he's, like, bad? Oh,
I think he's good.
He's probably decent.
I know what he would do.
Who?
He'd play Donkey Kong and he would just do the suicide thing.
Oh, you know? The thing where you grab him and jump off the edge. Yeah.
Yeah, he would do that. That's totally a Grim Reaper move. And if you don't know how to counter that, you just die. But if you do, then you have a chance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's... You know what? Me and the Grim Reaper play video games very similarly, I feel like. My whole thing in games is I like find to find
some cheap thing.
Find some cheap thing that if you don't know how to counter it, you instantly lose. But if you do know how to counter it, then I instantly lose.
So you would make a great Grim Reaper then.
Yeah.
That would be perfect. I feel like you'd play chess the same way. Like, you'd have some, like, really wackadoodle opening.
Yeah.
That's like, if they don't know what you're doing, they're done. But if they know, they're just like, oh, this is easy.
Yeah.
I know how to beat this or whatever.
Yeah. It's like I turn the whole game into a little mini game that I've practiced for hours.
Do you know how to beat this specific thing I'm giving you right now?
Yeah.
And if you do, then the game's over. And if you don't, well, you're done. I think you'd make a great Grim Reaper then, to be honest. So that would be my resume, yeah. I think we have a pretty solid Grim Reaper.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
And then at the bottom you can be like, worked at Arby's from 2008 to 2012.
Yeah, like really that. Good at killing people.
Some fast food chain or something, I don't know.
This was posted by KCKid23.
Thank you, KCKid.
What are some good first date questions to get to know someone?
Oh my god, this is such a loaded question. Have you been on any first dates lately?
Lately?
Yeah.
Not.
I don't want to pry into your personal life too much.
Super lately, no.
Not super lately. So, I haven't been on a first date in a very long time, so I'm not very useful with this question. But you've been on one more recent than me, so...
That's true.
What do you use? What's your strategy? You know?
Like, really, most of the people that I'm going out on dates with, I already know somehow.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. Like, I'm not the kind of person, I mean, obviously I'm married, so I don't date, but...
Yeah.
I'm not really the kind of person that would be like, let's go on a date, random stranger I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I've only done that once or twice, and every time I've tried that, it went terrible.
But what were the questions you asked on that date? Like, what did you talk about?
I don't know. Like, I usually just go on... I don't usually ask questions. I usually just talk about stuff that I've done recently, which is probably not a great thing to do, but...
Yeah, you want to ask questions. I think that's the key to getting to know somebody. I feel like people really like you if you ask them about themselves. And I've only noticed this recently. Not recently, but like... And we're not talking about, like, dating anymore. We're talking about, in general, humans. Yeah. Like, an easy way to make someone like you is just ask them about themselves. And then just keep asking. Like, they'll say something, and you'd be like, oh, what is that like? How do you like that? Da-da. And then they'll just keep talking. And then you can just...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like short-circuiting.
You're absolutely right.
Someone. Yeah.
What I do is kind of like that. If there's conversation, dead space, or I need to talk to a new person and get them to make a good first impression, I'll usually say something like, hey, I watched this thing recently. It had this and this and this actor. Have you ever seen any one of their movies? So it's like, I don't want them to think they're talking about something that I don't know anything about.
Yeah.
So.
That seems like a very random question, though.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it could work, right? Some people would be like, yeah, I have, blah, 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 blah. You know,
and if they haven't, then
they're just like, well, conversation is over. I guess that was fun while it lasted.
If you haven't seen What About Bob with Bill Murray in it, then I don't want to talk to you anyway.
Like, then we're not going to be friends anyway. God damn it. Yeah, I don't know. People are tough, man. I don't really understand them that much. Have you ever this is a weird topic. I'm sorry, but
it's okay.
Have you ever became friends with somebody and you look back months later and you try to analyze what you did right to become friends with them? You can answer
really.
No. Okay.
Not
because
really.
I do that not often, but it's something that I do, right? Because not that I I'm analyzing why it worked or why it didn't, but it's more like, how is this different than any other relationship I've ever, had with a coworker or a, a person that I knew as an acquaintance or whatever? You know what I mean?
You're right.
You see what I mean? I don't know what... I like to think that I'm the same person for everybody. I don't really change, depending on who I'm talking to.
Right.
So, I'm did I do something different? Or are they just more receptive to my weird brand of weirdness that I have? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And maybe that's it. I don't know.
I feel like I'm a little different depending on the person. But the people that I like, that I actually really like, I'm the same around all of them.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah.
People that I maybe don't like as much, not that I like hate them or anything, but people that I'm not as close with, I don't know, I shield a little bit of the true self.
Yeah, no, I think I shield a little too, but then I get to the point where I'm myself, and then I'm like, okay, now here's the time. When I become myself, it's either people are like, all right, I'm done with him, or, oh, you're cool, you know what I mean? Like, and I don't really know what I'm doing there differently. And maybe I'm not doing anything differently. Maybe it's just a perception of me kind of deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Not that I care what other, you know. But I'm just curious. I don't understand how the human dynamic works. It seems like sometimes I, don't make an impression on people that I think I should be making an impression on. And then other times I'm like random people that I don't think I would be making an impression on. You do, you know, it's like, it's just weird.
That's such a weird feeling when that happens. When
you're
talking to someone and you're like, oh, well, this person's not going to like me. And it turns out.
Exactly.
They liked me.
And you're like, why? What did I do differently?
You don't seem like someone who would like me.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's such a bizarre thing, you know? I think that's what I was getting at, and I couldn't communicate it. Like, that, like, impression of you thing. And, like, it just doesn't make sense to me, you know?
I think it's kind of because I judge people. Like, I kind of judge, like, whether people will like me based on what they look like or something.
Yeah, or something. And then you're just like, oh, that person's not going to like me. So you don't really make an effort. And then maybe they, I don't know, it's weird.
And then it works. And that's a strange thing.
Maybe it's because you're not making an effort. Ooh, because you're being like intrusive. I don't know.
Ooh, maybe.
I don't know. It's really hard.
I don't actually know.
All I know is I only had an easy time making friends when I was 12 years old. You know, that part of my life was pretty easy riding right there. And ever since then, it's been pretty tough, you know? It's been an uphill battle.
I think it's easier for you to get along with people super well.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, I think so. But
friends, though, everybody's too busy.
Everyone's so busy. So, you know, when they want to do something, it's always something stupid that I don't want to do. Like, let's go bungee jumping. I'm like, no, let's just sit around. I don't care about bungee jumping. We've had this conversation before.
I don't want to do anything cool.
Just go to a bar or something. Come on.
Yeah.
Aren't you people normal? Oh, God. Are you ready for your last and final trivia question?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Your category is fears. Fears.
Ooh.
Like phobias.
You know? Nice. I'm going to use my 5-second Google on this.
All right. Let me pronounce this right. Porphyrophobia is a fear of what? Is it A, buffaloes, B, the color purple, C, Polynesia, or D, plants? Porphyrophobia. And I can spell that if you want. When you get to the Google phase.
I'm going to use my 5-second Google.
Porphyrophobia.
Because it could be any of these.
What's your first inkling?
Porphyrophobia.
Yeah. Buffaloes, purple, Polynesia, or plants?
Maybe plants?
Porphyrophobia. Yeah. Sounds kind of planty.
Yeah, it sounds planty. It could be Polynesia, too. They both start with P. I don't know.
Do you think people are really afraid of Polynesia? I mean, they might be. I don't know.
People are afraid of weird stuff.
That's true, they are. All right, you want to do your Google now?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. I'm going to spell it, and then after you spell it, then I'll start your timer.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Okay. Nice.
Because I'll be nice to you. Because I want you to be able to actually type this out correctly. All right, so it's spelled Porphyrophobia. Read it back to me so I make sure you got it right.
Porphyrophobia.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
You good?
I'm good, yep.
All right, you ready?
Ready.
3, 2, 1, Google.
Says,
beep, 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 beep. You're out of time.
Porphyrophobia, from the Greek word porphyros, purple, is the fear of purple.
Oh, is that what you're going to go with?
I never would have guessed purple, but I'm going to go with purple. Final answer.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Purple is correct. You got 3 for 3 today. You win a prize. I don't know what that prize is, but you'll win something. Yeah, it doesn't sound purpley. It sounds plants to me.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? That's why I put it in there.
Or also fire, because like pyro.
Pyro. Yeah, I should have put fire. I should have had fire, purple, Polynesia, and plants. That would have been good. Oh, well. But I feel I didn't put fire because it didn't have an F, you know. It was fire with a PH, which was, funnily enough, the name of my website when I was... Remember when we were talking about like an hour ago?
Yeah.
I spelled fire with a PH because that was the cool way to spell it.
Was there a Y too?
Yeah, it was P-Y-P-H-Y-R. Fire.
Ooh.
That's so stupid, isn't it?
That's so cool.
It was so cool when I was 13. It was like the coolest word ever. It was like, oh yeah, fire with a PH and a Y.
I still think it's cool.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know what I should do? I should bring that back. I should bring the website back.
You should. I'll register. You can list me as your staff. Do you remember your staff page?
I remember I had staff page. Were you ever on my staff?
I don't think I was.
I think you were like an honorary something. You know? Are we talking about this now? This is like really embarrassing.
Or I was like, secretary or something. Like I wasn't, if I was on there, I wasn't like anything cool.
Do you remember this though? Like this is really embarrassing, but it's funny. Like, back then, people had, like, sites, and they would, like, affiliate with other sites, like, in, a web ring kind of thing.
Right.
And every website had, like, staff. You weren't getting paid for anything, but you were, like, the staff just meant you were, like, part of the site's, like, core community or whatever, you know?
Yeah. It was also, like, a bargaining tool. Like, if you link to my site, I'll put you on my staff.
It was so weird. I was the, like, admin and webmaster of the site.
Yeah.
And then I had like 6 or 7, I had like 7 or 8 other staff members. I don't remember what the hell they did. One of them wrote articles for me. The other one reviewed video games. And a couple made like art assets for the RPG thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you I think, were just honorary.
Secretary.
You didn't do anything, but you were part of it.
I was the treasurer.
But yes, and then I was staff on like a couple other websites as their like affiliate, like other affiliate websites.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what I didn't do anything for them. I was just on their page, you know, because they were on my page or whatever. Like, it's so stupid.
It's actually really cool, though.
It was a weird, like no one got money. But you kind of, like, got status, right? And you, like, traded the status for things, you know what I mean? Like, being a staff on another site was, like, a status symbol, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And you can exchange your status for... I mean, back in RPG community days, people would make, like, custom battle systems. They would make custom, you know, sprites.
Custom everything.
Were listed as staff somewhere, someone might make you something, and you wouldn't have to pay them.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a fun time. It was kind of the Wild West, but it was fun. I remember, like, all I did as a kid was we would just play video games, me and you. And then 50% of my other day was just on, like, doing that website. That was it. Like, that's all I did for, like, 2 or 3 years as a teenager.
And it was really cool.
It was really fun. It was really, really fun. Yeah. But, God, I almost forget. I forget about that sometimes. And then something reminds me, and then I get really embarrassed about it.
You shouldn't be embarrassed. It's actually really cool.
That was my life's, like, that was my life's work right there as a 13-year-old. Like, sometimes I think back, and I'm like, I peaked when I was 13.
I can't say that I have anything. I mean, we have a website, and technically people, I guess, visit it.
But, like, I think back to my accomplishments when I was a teenager, you know, 13, 14, and I was like, that was cool. I don't think I'm, I can't think of anything today that's as cool as what I did back then. You know what I mean?
I agree. I haven't done anything as cool as what I did when I was younger.
It's weird. I thought I was going to be real cool. Like, oh, I'll just keep this up the rest of my life. And like, no, that's not how that works. I think it's because I got hacked. It's because I got hacked and it really ruined my morale. You know?
Yeah. What we got to do is start that show and get that revenge on that man that did that.
That website, like, I didn't realize that. I feel like we're having, like, a psychological session right now because this is, like, the root of some things in my psyche right now. Do you remember when we were kids? This is like really nostalgic, weird episode. It's the end of the episode, so no one's going to listen to this part. When we were kids, we used to like make a lot of movies. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
like,
I remember our movies.
We made like 50. It must have been at least 50. And they were like, some of them were like 30, 40 minutes long. They were long.
Yeah.
And I remember one part, I was like, you know, we could probably like swing this like for real. Like we could probably make a real movie. You know what I mean?
We probably still could.
And then something happened, and I don't remember what it was, but like I just stopped making movies because I like my dreams got crushed somehow, and I was like, this isn't something I can do. You know what I mean? But maybe it was similar to the website thing, right? It's like something like brought my morale down to such a degree that I like gave up on my cool dreams, you know, as a kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, even if you make bad movies, that's still way cooler than not making movies.
Exactly. In my opinion. And like, I would have loved to keep making movies, and I don't know why I didn't make, like at 16 or 17, we just stopped. We were just like, we're not making movies anymore. And I don't know why we stopped. Like, I really don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Like, because it was cool. I think, like, you know, you just think, like, oh, you know, life isn't like that. Like, you can't do that. But, like, you totally can. You absolutely can.
Yeah.
You know? But, like, you grow up, and then you just feel like, oh, that's not something you can do. But it is. It is. And I think people tell you that you can't, but you can. I don't know. I think it goes back to that talk we had, like, a long time ago, whereas like you just need encouragement, right? Like you need some other person to like encourage you to do something you want to do.
You need Pocket Mom. You need to be able to.
You need Pocket Mom.
You need to be able to upload files to Pocket Mom. You upload your movie, and she's like, "That's great, honey."
It's like you did a great job. Yeah,
I love maybe this
that's
movie.
Maybe that's why like you go off and live your adult life, and then you don't have. I mean, you have your mom still, but you don't have your mom like right there all the time. To tell you to be like, why are you making more movies? I love your movie. You don't have that anymore. You know?
Yeah.
Sorry. You want to do one final Reddit?
Let's do one final Reddit. Now I've got Pocket Mom in my mind.
I love Pocket Mom. It's such a good app idea. Right. I was reading about someone's stupid app idea recently that got like $100 million. And I don't remember what it was, but I got really mad and it just reminded me of our ideas. And like we could have so many, like we could be millionaires right now because of our app ideas.
Yeah, we could.
We just don't do it.
I'll tell you about an app I heard about recently. So you put your phone in your pillow and this app makes your phone vibrate and that helps you meditate.
That sounds terrible.
Do you know how much it is?
How much?
$200.
For the app?
For, like, there's a special noise-canceling headset you get with it or something. And it's $10 a month to have the vibrating pillow subscription service.
This is so stupid.
Have you ever heard, like...
No, this is the dumbest thing. People buy this, you know that, right?
They do, yeah.
You don't even... Here's the thing about these things. You don't even need to make that much money. You just need to get enough schmucks that... don't know any better that pay for your thing for a few months and you're rich, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, just liquidate it, trash it.
Yeah, as long as you're successful for like 3 months, then you're like, great, spent no money to make this app, just made $10 million, I'm done, you know what I mean?
You know what's worse than people making like $100 million off of that? There are probably people that turn their life around with a vibrating phone pillow. Do you know what I mean? There are people
what do you
that.
Mean,
so there were probably people that were like really like having a rough time in life, you know, struggling to get through stuff, and then they'd had enough. They bought their vibrating phone pillow, and that's all it took for them to just get back to winning.
Oh, maybe that would be cool. Though,
no, that sucks.
Why is that?
I'm sorry, but if your problems are...
They had their moment. They had their thing, you know, that helped them through it.
Stupid.
I need a vibrating phone pillow. Where's my vibrating phone pillow?
Yeah.
How do I turn the ship around? Get my vibrating phone pillow.
$200. Make me sick.
See, that's the problem I have. Like, if someone guaranteed me, like, your life's going to turn around for $200... I would be like, that's a little expensive.
I've seen other apps that do it for free.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, am I really getting a good deal here? I don't think so. Like, that's how I think. I'm like, I don't think it's worth it.
Be like, is my life even worth $200? Like,
no, it's worth it, but it's like, is turning it around worth $200? Like, nah, not really. It's a lot of money. I could buy, like, a bunch of food for that, or, you know,
could get, TV like, or something. 400 hot dogs.
Exactly. Like, that's what I think, because, like, there's so many things. I'm so stingy about stuff, and something will be like, there's be something on, like, Amazon for, like, $30, and it's, like, really cool. And, I'll want it for, like, years, and I'll be like, nah, $30, that's too much. And, like, I make well enough money to, like, spend $30 on a random shit on Amazon. But, like, I'll be like, nah, that's too much. And I'll just never do it. And maybe that's my vibrating phone pillow. Maybe that's the thing that, like, really turns it around for me. And I'll never know because I'm not willing to spend $30.
I don't think it's that. I don't think you need a vibrating phone pillow.
It could be. Not that's a bad example, but like whatever it is, the thingamajig on Amazon for $15, yeah. $30. Could be that. I don't know.
It's not. I'm going to spoil it. Problems are more complicated than that.
Damn it! There's not a cure-all for everything?
No,
but I bitch about stuff, but I have a pretty decent life, I feel like, sometimes.
Let's do one more Reddit. All right. This was asked by All the Toblerone.
Thank you, All the Toblerone.
What's your favorite Beatles song?
Oh, that's good. You go first, because you asked
that. Strawberry Fields Forever.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. I like that. I have a weird choice for my... No, I think my favorite is Eleanor Rigby. That's a boring answer, isn't it?
I mean, but mine is boring.
Eleanor Rigby's good. That's my favorite Beatles song, I think. Or, yeah, it's Eleanor Rigby. That's a boring answer. I feel like if I had like a really deep cut Beatles song, people would be like, "Oh, he's so cool." You know what I mean? Like,
you know what? I like you more for liking just like the Beatles song that you like. Like, so what? I like Eleanor Rigby. Yeah. That's the song.
Eleanor Rigby or Hey Jude? I don't know. It's a toss up.
Hey Jude is great.
Both of those are really basic, right? Beatles songs, right? If I was really cool, I'd be like, my favorite Beatles song is Octopus's Garden or something. I don't know. Something stupid, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what it'd be.
I like Across the Universe and I like Strawberry Fields Forever.
It's good choices. Very good choices. Bassnax, who's our sponsor on this very lovely episode of The Time Bass Show?
Our sponsor for today's show is Prime Force Thai Peanut Sauce.
It's a weird name for Thai peanuts. When you're feeling like the Thai-est of Thai peanuts to sauce, choose Prime Force. They'll get you going. That'll be the slogan. Remember, when you're feeling kind of lousy,
take some antihistamines and get a little drowsy.
There you go. That's good advice. Good night, everyone. Have a great day. Drive safely. Bye.